This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, today I begin my 12-part sermon series entitled Dying to Live, the Baptized Life. Now, the first three words of our sermon series title are interesting. Dying to live. What does that mean? You know, many in our culture use that word dying to mean that they are in pain and anguish because they don't have something that they want for life. For example, a person can say, "Oh, I'm dying for a drink of water." Or, "I'm dying for a vacation." Or, "I'm dying for a new job." Or, "I'm dying to have a date with that person." Or, "I'm dying to get over this illness." Many people are dying to live because they think that life is about getting whatever we think will make us happy and secure. Sometimes, even if God says it's wrong. But even if you have all the treasures and all the pleasures that life can offer, you still have to face the fact that you're dying. You know, we all eventually go through hard times, sooner or later. We eventually lose the very things we spend so much time and so much energy trying to obtain. And our bodies, well, they eventually get hurt, or they get sick, or they grow old, and we all eventually die. We're dying to live, but true life always seems to elude us. Now, the reason for that is that we sinners really don't know what true life actually is. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul encourages us to seek out the true life. Here's what Paul says in 1 Timothy 6. He says, "Take hold of the life that is truly life." Take hold of the life that is truly life. But how can we do this? Didn't I just say that true life always seems to slip through our fingers? Well, the fact is, we can't take hold of the life that is truly life unless the life first takes hold of us. You see, my friends, the answer is Jesus. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." My friends, Jesus is teaching us that the only way we can have true life is to be brought back into a relationship with God the Father through faith in His Son Jesus, our Lord and Savior. You see, the reason that true life eludes us is that apart from Christ, we are dead even while we live. Now, I'm not talking about physical death, although we have to face that eventually. No. Apart from Christ, I'm saying that we experience the worst kind of death. Spiritual death. You see, God's Word teaches that we are conceived as people who are spiritually dead, which means that we don't trust God, we don't love Him, and we actually try to find life apart from His plan for our lives. As I said, we are conceived with this spiritual death, and that's because we inherited this curse from our first parents, Adam and Eve. As you know, they were tempted to reject God, and the result is that they lost their lives. That is, they lost the true life that God intended for them and all their descendants. That's why we are conceived as sinners who naturally run away from God in pursuit of life, but all we find when we run from God is death. Oh, we're dying to live, but without God, there is no life worth living. But now for the good news. The good news is that God has done something to rescue us from this death that we've brought upon ourselves. God sent His Son into the world to save us by taking our death upon Himself and then by giving us His life. As you know, Jesus lived a perfect life of faith for us. And then he allowed himself to be nailed to the cross with our sins on his back. And then he conquered our death by his resurrection. And now he lives. He lives to give us new life with God. The Apostle Paul writes about this in Ephesians chapter 2. Listen very carefully to what he says. He says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, gratifying the cravings of your sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. We were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions." With that said, now we're ready to consider the last three words of our sermon series title, the baptized life. Now we know that Jesus accomplished salvation for all people by his life, death, and resurrection. But this salvation does us no good until it is applied to us personally. For example, let's say that we're all dying from an illness called sin. And there's a man named Jesus who has the cure. But only he has the cure, and no one else. And Jesus wants to give this cure to every person who is dying of sin. But what would happen if you refused to admit that you were dying of sin? You wouldn't think you needed the cure. Or what if you tried to cure yourself? Or what if you went to another person other than Jesus to get the cure? Well, sadly, you would then die because of your sin, even though Jesus had the cure for you all along. Simply put, each person needs to receive the salvation that Jesus accomplished for us by his life, death, and resurrection. But the question is, how does God give us this cure? Well, Scripture teaches that God gives us Jesus and his salvation through his word in its various forms. For example, God uses preaching and teaching to convince people that they are dying of sin. And then he uses that same preaching and teaching to give us faith in Jesus, who alone saves us from sin and death. But in addition, Scripture also teaches that God uses holy baptism to accomplish the same miracle. In holy baptism, God's word uses ordinary water to give us the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of our sins. God uses holy baptism to put our sinful nature to death so that we can live a new life as God's children. For example, I want you to listen again to our first reading from Romans 6 and listen to what Paul says. "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Now, what is Paul trying to say here? Well, first of all, he is answering the objections of some unbelievers who were arguing that we can't possibly be saved by Christ's work alone, because that would mean that we could just sin all we want, right? Paul says, no way. That can't happen. You see, when Christ saves us, he changes us. In baptism, we die to a life of rebellion against God, and then we are given new life as God's children. So the baptized life means that we now say no to sin and yes to God's plan for our lives. We heard the same teaching about baptism in our other two readings from Titus and John. If you noticed, both texts of God's Word speak of His work in baptism in terms of giving us new life. In fact, that's why Jesus says we must be born again of water and the Spirit. In holy baptism, God gives us the cure for our sin. In holy baptism, God kills our sinful nature and then He gives us new life as God's children. Now, at this point, we're ready to examine today's sermon title. The first sermon in the series is entitled, A Matter of Death and Life. Now, why did I choose that title for the first sermon in my 12-part series? The reason is, baptism is a matter of death and life. You see, baptism is not merely a one-time event in the past that has no meaning for our daily lives. Sadly, that's what it is for many of us. But instead, Scripture clearly teaches that baptism is an ongoing reality for us as Christians. By the power of our baptism, we are moved to die to sin and live for God every day. And I need to say that if this is not the case for you, then there's a chance that you have rejected the life that God has given you in your baptism. This is important to remember, because some people might object to everything I've said about baptism so far. I know some people who would say, Pastor, how can you say that baptism actually kills our sinful nature and then gives us new life in Christ? How can you say that, Pastor? Because I know people who have been baptized, but now they're living as unrepentant sinners and they care nothing for the things of God. So how can you say that God brings us salvation in baptism? Well, sadly, this objection is partly true. It's true that some who have been baptized now sadly live as people who are spiritually dead. But this does not mean that God does not give us life in baptism. What it does mean is that it is possible for us to grow weak in our faith and eventually reject the life that God has given us in baptism. Now, you might wonder how that could possibly happen to people who have been baptized. In fact, you might be wondering if that could happen to you. Well, it could. It could happen to you and it could happen to me. But it doesn't have to happen at all. But you might wonder, how can you avoid losing the spiritual life God gave you in baptism? The answer is that the Holy Spirit moves you to keep trusting in Jesus and to keep growing in His Word. In fact, I will be addressing that issue in detail in next Sunday's sermon, which is entitled, The Necessity of Nurture. But with that said, there is an important teaching of Scripture that we must understand at this point. On the one hand, we've just learned that it is possible for us to reject the life we received in baptism. But on the other hand, Scripture also teaches us that we do not cease being sinners just because we have been given spiritual life in baptism. For example, in Romans chapter 6, which is where our reading from Romans is taken from, Paul says that in baptism we die to sin so that we can live a new life in Christ. But then, in the very next chapter, in Romans chapter 7, Paul says the following about his life as a baptized, believing Christian. Listen to what he says. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you relate to what Paul said? I know I can. You see, Paul is saying that being a baptized Christian does not mean that you no longer struggle with sin. Oh, it's true, in baptism, God put your sinful nature on death row, and when you die physically, your sinful nature will cease to exist. But in this life, our sinful nature will always be with us, and it will be fighting against the godly desires that flow from the new life that God has given us in baptism. That is exactly why we need to keep our focus on Jesus, who gave us new life in baptism. Now, we'll learn much more about that aspect of the baptized life in 2 weeks from today when you hear my sermon entitled The Daily Battle. But as for now, we're ready to get back to today's sermon title, which is A Matter of Death and Life. My friends, as we've already learned, when you were baptized, God put your sinful nature to death. But what that means is that your sinful nature no longer defines who you are or how you live. In other words, you are no longer an object of God's wrath. You are no longer controlled by the devil. You are no longer enslaved by your sins. Instead, you are an object of God's mercy. You are controlled by the Holy Spirit, and you have been set free to live a new life as God's child. So as Christians, we're dying to live, but we're not dying to live in the way that the unbelievers are. Instead, we're dying to live, meaning that each day we die to sin so that we can live as God's children each day. That, my friends, is the baptized life. It's a matter of death and life. Every day we repent of our sins, knowing that we're forgiven and that we're dearly loved children of God through Jesus, whose death and resurrection given to us in baptism makes it possible for us to live now and forever as God's children. In fact, in Martin Luther's Small Catechism, he has a section on baptism. And in the fourth part of that section, he talks about the significance of baptism for our everyday lives. Listen to what he says. For those of you who memorize this, it should be familiar to you. Luther says, baptism signifies that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts, and again, a new man daily come forth and arise, who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever. There you have it, my friends. Baptism is a matter of death and life. As Christians, you are dying to live the baptized life. Your sins are forgiven, and God has given you new hearts that long to say no to sin and yes to God's loving plan for your lives. My friends, you have been baptized because God wants you to experience the joy and the peace and the comfort and the hope that come from the promises and the power that He has given you in holy baptism. In the next 11 sermons in this series, we're going to learn in detail from God's Word how we get to live the baptized life. Therefore, be sure to come next Sunday and hear the sermon, The Necessity of Nurture. But until then, please remember that your baptism is a matter of death and life, with emphasis on that word life. You see, because of Jesus, you have life now and forever with the God who loves you dearly. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.